2011. One of the UK's largest catering firms is withdrawing all frozen beef products after some tested positive for horse meat. Sodexo supplies more than 2,000 outlets, including schools and care homes. Meanwhile, the Food Standards Agency revealed its latest test results, with them detecting no new cases of contamination. Andrew Rhodes is from the FSA.
The results we published today now account for 90% of the products that are available for sale in the UK. So we've made really, really good progress. We will continue to look until there is nothing left to find, and we will root out the cause of this problem, and those who are responsible will be dealt with.
Elsewhere, Birdseye removed 3 beef ready meals from shelves in the UK and Ireland as a precaution. It's after it found horse DNA inside a chili con carne it sells in Belgium. The BBC has published censored evidence about Jimmy Savile, some of it highly critical about its handling of the sex abuse scandal. Meanwhile, officials in Scarborough, where the Star used to live, have stripped him of his title, the Freedom of the Borough. And soaring petrol prices means there's increasing pressure on the Chancellor to scrap a planned fuel duty rise. It's predicting record prices at the pumps. That's the latest. I'm Danny Crawshaw.
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
Now, I know what it is, actually, as you are hip to it. Without communists and dope fiends, I could never get elected if I were a politician. Which doesn't make it a bad politician, but that's what it is. But the real strange thing is that I know in this audience there's probably about 6 or 8% of you that vote. I know this. And I don't vote. And only a small percentage of the country votes. So what happens is the minority rules the majority. That's what the scene is in. A certain group that votes, they rule me. The reason I don't vote is that I know that the president has to please all 48. So then it's absurd to vote. This, I know, will look good in print. He extols the virtues of amphetamine and says proudly he doesn't vote. Now, if that's not prurient appeal, I don't know what the hell is.
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
Indian land! You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb? as you are right now.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. White man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginal.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
What's the problem?
I am stuck in a pair of handcuffs.
You're stuck in a pair of handcuffs?
Yes.
That's the voice of Father Tom Donovan, the priest of St. Aloysius Church in Springfield, Illinois, since 2010. He's being questioned by a dubious dispatcher.
Are you an employee there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, are you the only one there?
Yes, I am.
I am now.
Okay.
I'll be there.
In the 911 call, November 28th, you can hear Father Tom Donovan tell the dispatcher that he is alone at church and needs assistance because he is handcuffed. His voice is garbled because police say he was wearing a mask with a gag.
They described it in the report as a leather bondage type mask with a bar in his mouth.
Father Donovan asked for a leave of absence, according to church spokesperson Kathy Sass.
And Father Donovan came to Bishop Paprocki and told him what had happened and asked for help. He was granted leave to deal with personal issues.
The police report said Donovan was wearing an orange jumpsuit. While headline writers were having a field day with the priest who was tied up at the moment, the episode remains painful for church members.
It's hard to see something happen to one of our priests.
Yeah.
And we continue as a diocese, I think, especially the parishes that Father Donovan has served, continue to offer our prayers for his well-being.
Yeah.
C'est intelligent, intelligent de radio.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginals.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the Fourth World from within occupied North America. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Salutan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. I'm your host, Angry Indian, Editor-in-Chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the Fourth World from aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. Thanks to tuning in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning the issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, racist, neoclassist, neocolonialist, neoliberal, neo-fascist, and neo-misogynist control. I wish to welcome you all to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along. It's good to be back in Portlandia, I'll tell you that. I mean, if you haven't paid attention to the news lately, there's a nuclear leak. If I don't know what else to call it. I mean, it's not exactly the meltdown that was going on at Fukushima, but the tanks that are supposed to somewhat like the tray under your refrigerator collects this. Who was this? Was it Reuters? Lupe? Oh, by the way, we're in the studio with our engineer and executive producer, Lupe Morales. Yeah, some of you might be aware, I was a caller on the tail end of Friday on the front porch with Bob Kincaid. Bob Kincaid is the host of Head On Radio, which you can find at headonradio.com, and I advise that you subscribe to his podcast. I suggest that you listen to him. I also suggest that you try to help him out, because he's trying to keep the lights turned on and keep some fuel in the pickup truck in order that he can get to DC so that he can argue about what's going on in Appalachia in terms of coal mining, which is destroying his community. Fracking, which is destroying his community. I mean, the water over there serves a bunch of places, including Philly. You know, so why don't we just help him out? But in any case, you know, I was on there for a few minutes on the tail end of that, and we were talking about the Hanford nuclear site in Washington State. Now, I was aware of Hanford some time back. I had actually applied for a job with a lobbying group that was trying to get Hanford closed down. There are some people who are actually sitting in the joint right now. Clerics, actually. A priest, some nuns. Because they realize that, you know, the war dollars are coming home and that these things are impacting the life of everyday people in this country. So, you know, unfortunate for me, I happened to be in Seattle for, you know, several days while this was happening, and Ms. Angry Indian asked me to come straight home, which I did. And so, you know, we're now watching this from afar, but it's a bad, bad scene. No matter how you look at it, there are leaks in six tanks that, according to Reuters, I believe, they refer to it as a radioactive toxic soup. So, you know, you can think what you want, but after Fukushima, and for those of us on the west coast of the United States, particularly in the Pacific Northwest, this is not good news. This is not calm news. This is not making us feel any more secure than we did before. You know, there's nothing good about any of this news. And like I said, you have people who are sitting in the correction system, if you want to call it that, you know, if you want to give it that, doesn't correct anybody, doesn't correct anything, especially when you look at the system that is doing this, that isn't correct at all. All right? Nuclear power is something that is going to end up making the human race something of the past. You know this, I know this, and they know this too. But, you know, no one seems to want to be able to get off this merry-go-round that we're dealing with in terms of capitalism, in terms of violence, in terms of abuse. You know, the abuse that, you know, we do as societies, the abuse we do as nations, the abuse we do as individuals, the abuse we do, you know, taking part in groups, the abuse we do to ourselves, the abuse that we do to ourselves when we engage in these things. I mean, be honest with yourselves, brothers and sisters, because this is really bugging me. You know, this is a particular thorn that is in my side. All of us know, unless we have some kind of cognizant difficulty, all of us know that when we're doing something wrong, that we shouldn't do it. But we do things anyway, and we look for rationalizations on why we do it, and we look for rationalizations as to why we sit and we watch other people do things like this. You know, I mention way too often, Sam Posach. Now, I do this because he is my favorite philosopher. Next to Jacques Derrida and Michel Foucault, you know, I mean, French and Russian philosophy, particular modes of thought or discussions about thought, which is what I prefer, because, you know, when you read Derrida, for example, he doesn't tell you how to think. For that matter, neither did Jean-Paul. You know, and for that matter, neither did Foucault. You know, the idea was, you do your research, and you get to where you get to because that is where the research took you. You may not particularly like where you end up, but that is where you end up. Now, for the Sherlock Holmes fans out there, you know, you're aware of this one. I'm not particularly sure which tale it was in, but Sherlock Holmes is quoted as saying this from his author, who I understand was a good man who actually believed in racial justice. But that's another story for another time. But the point is, when you remove the impossible, all that remains is fact. And when we look at the facts about a lot of things, including the, you know, the capitalist use. And I really, well, actually, that's not fair. I shouldn't say capitalist use because everybody wants nuclear power now, right? But why? Because the capitalists set the model. The capitalists set the mold. Now, for those of you who are not old enough to remember, and frankly, I'm not that old. You know, this whole arms race thing that went on between East and West was nonsense. It was bogus. There wasn't anything true about it. There wasn't anything true about it. You know, I've had Russian friends. And when I say friend, I actually mean that. We were friends and we talked about what the differences were between East and West as well as we could understand it. Me coming from public housing, they coming from Odessa and the Moscow, you know, public housing. Because I really don't remember the term. Now, I also have to add that my friend from Odessa was a Jew, which threw another, you know, dynamic onto things. But the point is, you know, they taught me through human-to-human conversation and just relaying as people, as citizens of the world, that they were more worried about us, meaning the United States, because when, you know, we have to be very careful when we say us, because, you know, that implies a collective intent and a collective benefit, of which you and I, ladies and gentlemen, brother and sister, and I assume even the people who monitor all of this, these news programs, opinion programs, what have you, all of the media that is not part of the mainstream media, I'm pretty sure they themselves, those who are listening into this and analyzing everything I'm saying, that the arms race wasn't a race. The Soviets were trying to keep up. Now, where does that mentality come from? Where have we seen and heard that before? We have Wayne LaPierre running around here, and whoever the hell is, I mean, you pick any of these gun maniacs in the United States and Canada for that matter, but you know, there's not too many over there. You know, when I visit Canada, I don't meet people like this. You know, I mean, there are conservatives up there for sure. There are neo-Nazis up there for sure. But the difference between here and there is that you actually have, you know, liberals as well as conservatives, you know, who will go to parliament and say, you know what, that's a bit too far. But, you know, under Harper, though, you know, things have actually changed, haven't they? You know, I mean, they've really gone down the slippery goddamn slope of fascism. You know, and Harper's what? Nothing but W light. Nothing but Bush the Second light. He's a lightweight, but he's doing exactly the same things. He's making exactly the same moves. We see the same thing in Mexico. They cannot even control what is going on down there with the drug cartels. There are police chiefs missing in the border towns of Mexico. But we're supposedly, as the general public, we're supposed to be concerned about Africa right now. We're supposed to be concerned about the occupations and, well, the invasions and occupations, I should say, of Iraq and Afghanistan. And the reoccupation and re-imperialism and eventually re-colonialism, if you want to take into account all of the Walmart big box shops that they got over there now. And have you noticed the amount of African women that are artificially straightening their hair? You know, I mean, they're chasing after, you know, the pagan people, and I'm just saying pagan to be understood, but people, those of us who practice Wudong, those of us who respect our ancestors, okay, of African descent. You know what I'm talking about. I'm speaking to somebody out there. You know what I'm talking about. Allegra sits by the door, does he not? And watches over us. Someone out there knows what I'm talking about. Well, we're being told that those of us who respect our ancestors, because I refuse to call spirituality religion, they're calling us anti-African. If you respect your indigenous background, you are being called anti-African by Africans. some of them have processed hair, and they carry Western, or, well, I don't want to say Western Bible, because it really isn't Western, isn't it? No, is it? It's not Western, right? It's not Western, is it? Is it? You know, who was Jesus? Who was Jesus de Cristo? He was a Palestinian, was he not? This whole thing between Jew and Arab, I'm getting tired of it. A Semite is a Semite, you dig? You know, but let's just say, you know, when we talk about Western Bibles, I suppose just for clarification so everybody can understand what the hell we're talking about, so we're all on the same page. We can talk about the Douay Rheims, because that's the one that I was, if I pronounced that correctly, that's the one I was raised with. You know, I mean, you know, in the African community, we pronounce their own, you know, a lot of things incorrectly. Douay Rheims, you know, rhymes. Who gives a goddamn? I mean, I was raised Catholic. That's the one that we read. And then, you know, you cats to run around with the James and what have you in Africa. I'm sorry, but there's a contradiction there, isn't it? My pronunciation may be totally whacked out, but I tell you what, though, I know which way is up. You know, for those of you who are chasing after our traditional brothers and sisters because they refuse to wear a suit, because they refuse to dress like a white man, and saying that they're not African, what the hell are you doing, brother, sister? Those of you who are listening to white men in the United States to tell you to go after your brothers and sisters because they happen to love people of the same gender. Who's the African, brother and sister, in Africa? Think about that for a second. You know, if you go to rawstory.com, Lupe and I saw this before we, you know, sat down to do this. 1,000 people. Was it a day or a week? Well, if you pull it up, then we'll give out the stat. But 1,000 people. That is either a day or a week. You know, I can't remember. But it certainly wasn't a goddamn year. And maybe it was a month. But even then, one is too goddamn many. Malawi is just saturated with HIV. But no, the black man in America can't, you know, get his mind wrapped around the fact that HIV is spread in the motherland through heterosexual sex. But you will listen to some white guy. You won't listen to a white man for anything else. You won't listen to a white man that tells you to go to school who actually gives a damn. You know, because he's trying to be a decent human being, and maybe 15 or 18% of the back of his brain is saying, you know, maybe I just feel guilty and I want to do better because, you know, or maybe he just says, hey, I want a halfway decent goddamn planet, and having folks uneducated and not having things is just bad because they might bust my head open because they don't have anything, whatever the goddamn cause may be. You know, just like Malcolm X, I've made that mistake of, you know, like just unnecessarily turning off white folks, you know, who really did mean well, but because of the funk I had to deal with in terms of dealing with the average racist son of a bitch out here, you know, just don't know how to deal sometimes. That's what I'm saying. We all need to check ourselves. And yeah, I went on a tangent, but who gives a damn? You know, the bottom line is Africa's torn up, and we're over here blaming, and in Africa, blaming whom? Blaming the indigenous people? Why? Because they're weak? Blaming the traditional people in terms of spirituality? Why? Because they're weak? You know, and blaming the gay folks? Well, we all know they're goddamn weak, socially speaking, because nobody fucking respects them once religion comes in. And usually the white man's version of a goddamn religion comes in, which I still find to be hypocritical as somebody who counsels people. You know, folks come to me usually because they can't go any goddamn place else. And I don't know how many Africans I've spoken to. Ethiopia and Gambia in particular. You know, homosexuality doesn't exist in Africa. What is that, Peter Turkson? The one that they might replace with this last freak that they just took down. And it turns out that there's a secret cabal of gay priests in the Vatican who most likely are responsible for bringing him down. And this is on top of the fact that you had the gentleman in waiting, which is the valet to the Pope, Who was, what was it, 210 Lupe? Yeah, in 2010. You know, a few years ago, who was caught. Now, they weren't specifically looking for him. They were doing another investigation on the Vatican, talking about the Italian authorities now. And then you have to wonder why they're doing investigations on the Vatican, right? And they accidentally, because they were tapping all the phones, found out that he was trying to procure prostitutes. And not female prostitutes, brothers and sisters. Supposedly from the particular bordello that deals with male entertainment, that supposedly produces the best looking men or the best meat, I heard, in all of Rome. This is supposed to be the A+, you know, of whorehouses in terms of, you know, male sex workers, right? So, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. I mean, do we really believe that he was using the actual phone that was in the Pope's quarters, his private personal residence within the Vatican, to procure male sex workers for himself or for his boss? Now, again, I'm not knocking him for doing what he wants to do. You know, what the hell is that? I mean, that's the ultimate of goddamn hypocrisy, because you're out here telling people not to do what you're doing. And that's not even talking about the real freakazoids that you got working in your organization. Now, I'm particularly lucky. You know, I didn't have a bad priest. My priest was actually a good man. And, you know, we never had any scandals like that. I don't remember anything like that. And there's a lot of good priests out here who do their goddamn job and do not take advantage of their cassock. But then we have a whole crew, a whole slew of goddamn clerics who do just the opposite. Just like the politicians on top of us. Just like the police that have to, you know, make excuses for why they're stomping on us. You know, or like this native brother here who, you know, cuts himself up in his cell. Do they try to save him? Absolutely not. They film it, but they stand there and they watch him die. Okay? That's the world in which we live in. That's the world in which we've allowed ourselves to live in. As I said before, we outnumber these people. They are insane. When are we going to understand that? When are we collectively going to understand that? These people are insane. And I want to say this too, because, well, you know, because when we come back, we're going to have a interview between myself and Ali, the editor of AbRizone.com and at .wordpress.com actually. And this whole thing about violence is really making me physically sick. And it really bothers me that, you know, people in the African community are making a hero out of this Christopher Dona moron. And I'm calling him a moron, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, he's an Uncle Tom who got mad. That's all. That's all. Yes, he was a human being, and we need to consider that. And obviously, he was under pressure, and we need to consider that. And I have a certain amount of sympathy for anybody that is trying to do the right thing, which is what he tried to do. He obviously was about as honest as a Boy Scout. He returns money. He makes sure that, you know, it gets back to the original people. He reports abuse. He stops other officers. I commend him for all of that. But the problem is this. And, you know, it really doesn't even have anything to do with what we're doing. I know when I say, you know, things that seem negative about him, and, you know, and I'm saying this, you know, to his family and those who knew him personally, it's not to diss him. You know, obviously, homeboy and my brother was under some problems. He was under some serious weight. But he was also under this weight because he was trying to live in the system, because he believed in the system. And I'm sure that they would agree with this. This is where I find fault with Christopher Dona. He believed in the system even when he knew it was goddamn wrong to begin with. And he tried to work along with it. You know, he was an Obama and an Oprah type. Yeah, you know, there's a little bit of a problem. But it's not really too bad. You know, when Obama was, you know, reminded by a reporter that, you know, hey, your family has owned slaves. Talking about his mother's family. your family, you come from a slave-owning family. He just simply shrugged his shoulders and said, hey, that's the American story. See, that was a prime time. That was his moment. Collectively, that was our moment to talk about racism. Did he do that? Absolutely not. No. So for you suckers that are still sitting around waiting for the Obama machine to do something for you, you will continue to wait. They're still waiting for the ANC in South Africa to do some goddamn something for somebody. And nothing's happening. Nothing's happening, okay? Nothing's happening. You know, we're all just living on a hope and a fucking dream. You know, and it's doing nothing. Oh, and one more goddamn thing before I go out. So, you know, you got the Donna suckers. Well, here's another group of suckers that I want to discuss. Those of you who follow Jay-Z and Beyonce, yeah, I know, I'm not fans of them. You know, I'm not fans of this whole hip-hop universe that supposedly surrounds us that I really know was being controlled by a bunch of, you know, well, actually, not even by a bunch, by a small group of capitalists. None of them who really look like us. Yeah, you can point to a couple of big names that are black and say, yeah, they have some money, that they have some dosh, but for the most part, they're not in control of any goddamn thing. They're simply getting paid. Let's remember, you know, I said what I said about Rick Ross being an ex-operative of the state, right? Well, here's Ice-T, who does what he does back when he was getting his feet wet in this rap game, not rapping, actually. Which he admits this, okay? He went from singing that, you know, that cop song to playing a cop on mainstream television. So what the hell does that tell you? You know, these people go where the money goes, right? Well, it turns out that Jay-Z and Beyonce, there's some documents that are running around now that have been made public. That turns out that there was some aid money that was supposed to go to our people in Nigeria. Well, guess what? It's about $1 million. They used it for themselves. They used it for their own travel. They used it for their own expenses. But they're multimillionaires, right? Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? And this was some time back. Not like now. This was some time back. Come on, man. You know, it's like when, you know, the whole Occupy thing was trying to get going. He could have brought the African community into the forefront of that. But he didn't. He puts out shirts, Occupy All Streets, and then dropped it as soon as people realized that he was trying to capitalize on what the hell was going on. You know, I mean, fine, he's not political, okay, fine. But you don't have to be goddamn political. Harry Belafonte, to me, was not really political. He was simply a black man that was like, hey, wait a goddamn minute, I'm a human being, and my life has motherfucking meaning. For those of you who are fans of Beal. You dig what I'm saying? They have a mic to go up there and do some goddamn good. But in the meantime, they're just playing the same old capitalist game, and you suckers who don't have a pot to piss in, sitting in public housing, sitting in hovels, are worshiping Jay-Z and Beyonce. They're not even thinking about you. None of these superstars are thinking about you. I've said this before and I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it until people understand, man, and start having a real discussion about this. This ism of yours, it's yours in terms of creation, but you don't even own the means of production of this goddamn music thing. So, you know, this whole rap game ain't yours. You think it's yours, but it ain't yours. Look at the Five Heartbeats. Is that the name of the film? You know, look at the Five Heartbeats, man. Robert Townsend's thing. And do you really think you own this? You don't own this. That's like people who want to argue about hashtags on Twitter. It's like, are you insane? You're demented. You don't own goddamn Twitter. You know, how many people think they own their timeline or whatever the hell they call it, their profile on Facebook? You don't own that. They buy and sell you whenever they feel like it. Now that, what was it in Australia that they've already patented human DNA? When are you going to figure out what the hell is really going on? You know, people like Beyonce and JC are distractions. They're distractions from paying attention to what you should be paying attention to. Like how these people are manipulating your existence. I'm not even talking about your life. I'm talking about your fucking existence, homeboy. You know what I'm saying? Your existence. Your existence is being determined by somebody else. You think you're in charge of what the hell you're doing. But if that's the case, and you got all these people living with HIV, and that many more people being diagnosed with HIV in the motherland, and you got black millionaires sitting here and can't say nothing, that's a problem. But I tell you what the bigger problem is, as we're getting ready to go out, because somebody's telling me I'm talking too goddamn much, is that when you look at Kenya, for example, this was reported. Kenya, look at the AIDS rate in Kenya, and look at the AIDS rate in goddamn Washington, D.C., and then you tell me where the fuck the black community is and where these motherfucking leaders that you supposedly believe that are leading you someplace because you motherfuckers want to be ghetto goddamn fabulous. What's going to end up happening? You're going to be sitting in the goddamn ghetto with nothing. You're sitting in the goddamn ghetto with nothing now. And you're being preyed upon by vultures. And you know what? All that your leading man in the White House can say, all the black men in the White House can say is, fathers are not doing their goddamn job. Well, how about helping these fathers get some goddamn jobs so they can have some pride and sit at the head of their fucking table if you're going to keep this traditional nonsense, knowing that he can pay the bills and take care of his family so that his family can look up to him. Don't blame him for not having any goddamn thing, because when he tries to get money, when the new black woman tells him, don't come home without any money, I don't care how you do it, bring some butter home. And he does whatever the hell he has to do, comes up with all kinds of rationalizations, makes him insane, and then you blame him. See, I don't blame brother. See, I blame the fucker that says that he's my brother and is in a position to say something, that is in a position to do something, and know what? He does nothing. He does nothing but shuck and jive and coon for the white man that he claims he can't stand, but he does everything possible every day of his goddamn life to mimic this white man and earn his respect and his love. He's more worried about what Mr. Charlie thinks about him than what we think about him. And that's a problem. This is the Angry Indian. We'll be back with Ali, editor of AbriZone. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
I can trust you. I gotta save it. I can only go by what I see.
His Uncle Tom says you're his buddy.
So what kind of witness does that make you for me?
Este es Radio Insurgente, voz del Ejército Zapatista de Liberación Nacional, transmitiendo desde las montañas del sureste mexicano.
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Traditionally, Native women made all decisions regarding their reproductive health care. This was respected as women's business. Today, we are basically denied this decision-making power. It's time to take back that power making decisions concerning our reproductive health. There is a choice we can make regarding unwanted pregnancy. Plan B is an emergency contraceptive that must be taken within 72 hours after having unprotected sexual intercourse in order for it to be effective in preventing pregnancy. Contact your local Indian Health Service facility and ask if they carry Plan B. If not, tell them to order it. Plan B is an OTC, over-the-counter contraceptive, and a prescription is not necessary. You have a legal right to access this contraceptive over-the-counter. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Every day, one more Aboriginal person will test positive for HIV. Some will be rejected by their family, friends, and community. They will live in isolation, their voices no longer heard. HIV/AIDS stigma and discrimination denies our people the right to protect their future. You can make a difference. Be their voice.
Go ahead, ready?
I'm Forrest Whitaker for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and this is my daughter, Tru.
Hi.
Life is full of choices, and many years ago, I chose to become a vegetarian, and it's one of the best choices I've ever made. And since Tru's dad was a vegetarian, she decided to be a vegetarian, too. You may decide to go vegetarian for better health, for a better environment, or you could be like Tru and I and just decide you don't want to eat meat anymore.
I love animals, and I love being a vegetarian.
I'm Forrest Whitaker.
And I'm Tru Whitaker,
and we're vegetarians.
For more information, visit PETA.org.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
And the Democrats are throwing the election away. For what? An inadequate black male who would not have been running had it not been a white woman that was running for president. I'm no second-class citizen. And goddamn the Democrats.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
Right now, whether you're drinking at home in quantity or driving to a local AA meeting because this special is driving you to drink, either way, you're listening to
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I'm your host, Angry Indian, sitting in with our engineer, Guadalupe Morales. This is the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, broadcasting to the international Aboriginal community from occupied North America. Subscribe to our international podcast by way of our RSS feed at feedburner.com/Aboriginal Press Radio. And we are carried by a never-widening network of independent information providers not financially hamstrung by the corporatist news model, which includes, of course, Berkeley Liberation Radio, the Old Man News Network, and other outlets. Use your search engine. I'm sure you'll find us if you look for us. For more information on the news items and opinions discussed in this internet radio broadcast, please visit our electronic newspapers at aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com. AboriginalPress.wordpress.com and ang-newswire.blogspot.com. You may also leave us a polite voicemail at Aboriginal Media Group via Google Talk, and you can always email our studios at aboriginalradio@lavabit.com. Now, I welcome back my brothers and sisters of the Fourth World, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, and the negative elements staunchly opposed to human justice and social harmony. But in spite of all that, they take the time to listen to this show on the sly anyway. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. And I hope you're aware, at least I have become even more painfully aware, of the political tactic of hunger striking. And now I'm not going to say that I have never thought about it. Bobby Sands of the Irish Republican Army, and I'm going to call him a martyr because that's what he is. We can discuss and debate and condemn and what have you about what we believe to be actions from the Irish Republican Army. We're not really sure after Steak Knife, are we? You know, we're not really sure after a few people under various pseudonyms that have come out and said that they have worked for the Force Reconnaissance Unit and other colonialist entities, be they unionist, be they government. You know, the hunger strike was a way that Bobby Sands and his comrades were trying to bring international light to their cause. and their cause was that they did not feel that 800 plus years of British colonialism was working in their favor. They felt they had a right to, you know, at least ask the British to go home. We see Cameron, David Cameron, Prime Minister of Britain, currently a Tory, of course, who has visited India to pretty much not apologize for what has happened. And hunger striking was also a method that was used by the Mahatma Gandhi to remove India from the clutches of British imperialism. So this is nothing new, but we're dealing with this again. And right now in the case of occupied Palestine, we have a man that is clinging to life. And I really don't give a damn what your position is on whether or not Palestinians are right or wrong. You know, this is a matter of human rights. You know, it's already a given that the Zionist State of Israel does not have a right to do what it's doing. But, you know, I'm actually, you know, we asked Ali to come on today because I'm actually hearing from people that say that Palestinian prisoners do not have a right to strike. I've never heard of such a thing, that someone who is being oppressed does not have a right to even use nonviolent, self-damaging protest. You know, we had a group of youngsters in Israel who went on a hunger strike. And you know what the world pretty much did? They ignored that. But I've made a decision, and most of the editors here have made a decision, that we're not going to ignore it anymore. So we're going to speak to a recurring guest, Ali, the editor of abrizom.wordpress.com. I, as always, suggest that you read his work. And I want to have him explain to myself and to you, what is it that we may not be seeing in the West, those of us that are not Arab, in this particular situation? Because this is not limited to Palestine. This is happening across the Arab world. This is what started what we understand today as the Arab Spring. And, you know, as I said to my guests, all I really understand about this is what probably you understand, what I read from newspapers. So, coming from Nottingham in the UK, Ali, welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so why don't you give us a brief breakdown on the tactic, the political, nonviolent tactic of hunger striking, and then we'll move into what's actually happening right now in Palestine.
Right, so, well, you know, hunger strikes have always been used whenever whenever the person who is being oppressed finds no other solution but to use their own body as the ultimate form of resistance, right? So you are doing an act of violence to yourself in order to expose the greater injustice. And, you know, hunger strike is one of many of such actions, including self-immolation and, you know, others such, you know, refusing to eat. Well, you know, hunger strikes have always been a weapon, for example, of the first wave of feminists. The suffragettes used hunger strikes as a means of action, as well as more militant action.
So what is going on right now in terms of Palestine? We have right. A particular prisoner who has, I mean, he's literally on death's door. He is looking death in the eyes, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. The least we can do is pay attention to his particular case. So could you please give us his name and the particulars on why he is being held by the Israeli government? Is he being charged by the Israeli government? If he is being charged by the Israeli government, what are these charges? What is the position of the Palestinian Authority on this? Where is Hamas in this situation?
Well, his name is Samer Issawi, and he isn't the only Palestinian who is on hunger strike right now, but he is the one who has been on hunger strike the longest. I believe that today's is 211th day of hunger strike, which is just an extraordinary number when you really think about it. Let's try to put it a bit in context. When you said that Palestinians, prisoners don't have the right to strike, it's so much more than that. Most of the Palestinian prisoners are actually never charged and are held without charge, without trial, under a practice known as administrative detention, which allows the Israeli army and the Israeli government to keep people in detention indefinitely without charge or trial by saying that they pose a danger, but that they cannot charge them because by charging them they would have to disclose information that is vital to the state.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it all started with Khadr Adnan, who began his hunger strike in September 2011, and after 66 days of hunger strike he was he basically won and was liberated. Then there was Hanna Shalabi, who also went on hunger strike, and then this sort of started a snowball effect, and at some point about 1,200 Palestinians went on an open-ended hunger strike, and then that number became 2,000. Right now, we're only talking about 5 Palestinians on hunger strike. Other Palestinian prisoners are doing days of solidarity hunger strikes. So they would stop eating for a day in solidarity with those 5 Palestinians on hunger strike. Now, Samer Issawi and Ayman Sharaoun, I think, were part of the prisoner exchange for the Israeli prisoner of war that was held in Gaza. So they were liberated.
Gilad Shalit, so that everybody knows who we're talking about. Sorry about that.
No worries. It's just because no one knows all the names of the Palestinians, I kind of make it a point not to say his name, because mm-hmm. everyone knows his name. Mm-hmm. It's my little form of just, you know, it's something that I like doing.
Yeah, point taken.
Yes, so they were liberated during that prisoner exchange, but then were rearrested, as many others, for, I think, for violating the terms of their parole, which basically meant that they went from Jerusalem to Ramallah or something like that, something ridiculous. So they were arrested, and because they don't accept this arrest and are asking to be charged and put on trial, they went on hunger strike. And right now, the latest that we know is that yesterday there was a court hearing for Samer Issawi, where he was denied bail, and now there is breaking news that there might be another court hearing tomorrow. We're not really sure about the information because, you know, Israel isn't really the most transparent state out there. What is happening though is that there is a swell of anger in Palestine, and yesterday there were lots of clashes in Palestine, and that's been growing, and the Palestinian hunger strike movement has been growing and gaining a lot more attention, not in the mainstream media but online particularly, and in Palestine.
Okay, so, you know, where is this? I don't want to ask you, I don't want to say, like, where is this going to go, but we see these sorts of nonviolent protests that, as we both have identified, that are actually, you know, violence towards oneself. We're seeing this in India with farmers that are not able to grow their crops because of the influence of companies like Monsanto. We see this in Spain during the austerity clashes, you know, of the people against the authority, where people are setting fire to themselves, where people are committing suicide because they can't find a way out. We see this in the Arab world. We see this in Southeast Asia, women in Southern Asia. You know, it's, you know, where is this going to go? You know, where is the collective consciousness of the general educated public when we can witness these events and not feel that we need to take a principled stand against stopping the conditions that are causing people to be in such distress that they're harming themselves in order to stop what is happening to them, their nations, and by a larger extent, the planet at large, because we're all actually on the chopping block when it really comes down to the issues. They may seem that these things that are happening in occupied Palestine are localized. It may seem that when a Southern Asian farmer commits suicide and sets fire to himself, that, you know, it's an isolated incident. You know, where is the average person on these issues? The average news reading public?
Well, you know, this is a really important question, right? And I think that the blame is on the corporate media and the mainstream media that doesn't cover these things. And there are various reasons why they don't cover these things, right? There is the dehumanization of the other, right? So all of the groups that you mentioned are groups that are seen as that have been dehumanized constantly in the West, be they Arabs or South Americans or South Asians or Southeast Asians. All of these groups have constantly been dehumanized to the point where there is a difficulty to relate, where they are an other. So most people in the West don't see them as their peers, but they see them as often the enemy. Now, what the Arab revolutions have done, and what the Arab revolutions have done is that they have allowed for a new sort of consciousness about Arabs within the West. But also, I think that the internet has been quite central in disseminating news that the corporate and mainstream media doesn't cover. But of course, not everyone is internet savvy and has access to all of this constant stream of information, and most people don't know how to decode all of these things and find the appropriate information. So I think what we need to do is to find new strategies of disseminating information, because I do believe that most people, when they hear the truth, would feel sympathy. Most people, if you tell them there is someone that has been on hunger strike for 211 days and has not been charged, and that there are people that are put in jail without charge or trial indefinitely, most people would say this is wrong. And we're seeing this happening, and we're seeing a sort of groundswell from the ground up. It's taking time, and I think that there is a sense, at least I am feeling a sense, that people are starting to wake up to the, you know, the material conditions of the world right now. And maybe that's, you know, what I like to call my revolutionary optimism. But I feel that there is reason to be optimistic in that people are starting to talk more about oppressive systems and are starting to challenge them more and more.
Well, I do hope so. Maybe the issue of drones, in terms of who and how many are being removed and or liquidated in this way, has sensitized some people. But
I hope so. Like, the issue of drones is one very important one. And I think that what you see, you know, from someone who is not in the US, what you see is people who are supposed, who say that they are on the left, defending the murder of children. And that is just incredible. And completely, you know, you I don't know how they're able to live with such cognitive dissonance to the point where they're just because it is policy that has been that is being enacted by Barack Obama, they accept it as necessary. When if that same if those same sets of policies were enacted by a Republican president, they would be up in arms against it. And this is just, you know, it's there seems to be a lack of principle there that is really disheartening.
Yeah, it is unfortunate, but, you know, hopefully, you know, someone will listen to this and think twice about what the hell is going on. Ali is the editor of abrizone.wordpress.com. Visit it and see what's going on with him. Thank you, Ali, for sharing your thoughts on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, this is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Please stay tuned.
I'm gonna stand until I can't stand no more if I have to stand by myself.
The American people are the last people to wake up.
Prisons are becoming an integral part of the U.S. economy.
People of color organize critical thinking, strategic work, and direct action for social, racial, gender, and economic justice.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
People of Color Organize features intersections of race, politics, feminism, movement, class, internationalism, and theory.
This is about the Black Panthers. This is about the American Indian movement. This is about all of us.
Visit us online at peopleofcolororganize.com. Follow us on Twitter at POC Organize and Facebook at facebook.com/peopleofcolororganize. You can also find us on Tumblr at peopleofcolor.tumblr.com.
We're organizing against what we term genocide.
Nothing British is a campaign against racism and extremism. Add your voice by signing our petition at www.nothingbritish.com.
This is Kamal Lamani, a.k.a. Kamal Supreme. I'm in Brooklyn, Brooklyn, Medina, with my man Jonathan, his daughter Jasmine, my cousin Will, my wife Diane, my baby Hassan, and we are NewBlackMusic.net. And the name of this poem I'm about to do is called The N-Word. Historically, we're forgetting where we came from and what the black man and woman do in America transmits all over the world and possibly the universe. But people are getting the wrong interpretation of our culture, history, and words such as the N-word. So they're using it lightly. Now, if we're going to use it, I don't think it should be as a term of endearment, maybe dramatically, like I'm doing in performance poetry, you know, or maybe in a drama to show forth our history and bring forth meaning. But it shouldn't be something that anybody can toss off their lips, because we can't call Jews certain names because we'll be anti-Semitic, and we can't call Hispanics certain names because we'll be anti-them. So we can't call white people certain names, so why should we allow people to call us nigger? Why should we call ourselves nigger as a term of endearment? You know, I read articles that there's a store in Africa called Nigger, and they say they got that from Puff, and they think there's nothing wrong with nigger. They just was listening to his hip-hop, and that nigger's a good thing over there, you know? And, you know, I got white boys calling each other nigger, calling black people nigger, Spanish calling black nigger. Gotta stop. Gotta stop. Everybody gotta get back into the history, for real. We're glorious people, but we're forgetting our history. We're here for a reason. God only let us come here because he know we can handle it. So let's handle it, and let's rise above it, and let's rule again. Rule righteously. What's up, my nigga? was the term of endearment that he gave. I paused and looked around like, you talking to me? Because to me, a nigga is a modern day slave. See, niggas is living in America with one foot in the devil's grave. But because you getting paid, nigga, you think you got it made, nigga. You think you got powers that you can pull a trigger, nigga, and kill your brothers and sisters, nigga. Because you irate and you can show and prove that you hate a nigga. My father used to say the black man is a coward. Because he want to act like a man. While real men are handling the affairs of the world. Real men are trading diamonds, copper, gold, oil, steel, and uranium. Real men are thinking long range and manipulating interest rates in the stock exchange. While niggas is playing games. Niggas is playing games like, who shot ya? Niggas is playing games like, who's darker? And who look like Beyonce? And who look like Miss Parker? Who got the baddest prefabricated MTV crib? Who got the baddest ass, girl? What you mean? You should be playing hopscotch, girl. You only 13. And who's pimping they ride? Nigga, do you know what pimp means? Nigga, you being pimped by the establishment as a political machine. Niggas are being pimped by immigrant merchants in our hoods. We got Arabs selling us swine, blunts, and cancer sticks. Koreans selling us hip-hop clothes. And international niggas selling us what we put up in our nose. Parasites. You ask them, yo, why you buy from Parasites? They be like, shh, it's all good, dog. It's all gravy. Niggas is being pimped by the Army, Air Force, Marines, and Navy. Niggas are being pimped by the prison industrial complex. And you think niggas pimping just got to do with money, cash, hoes, and sex. Niggas need to study lessons that Elijah, Malcolm Lewis, Clarence and them gave. And maybe niggas will realize that a nigga is a modern day slave. Nigga.
Voices Indigenous Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law and presents the people who are fighting the war against Mother Earth. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves of WBAI as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. And you can hear the perspective of Indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law, land, air, and water. First Voices Indigenous Radio is produced in the studios of WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming and archived on WBAI.org and First Voices Indigenous Radio.org.
HIV संक्रमित हरुलाई माया ममता र समाजमा सम्मानित जीवन जीउने वातावरण निर्माण गरौं।
यो उनीहरुको अपेक्षा होइन अधिकार हो।
रोगलाई तिरस्कार र बहिष्कार गरौं, रोगीलाई होइन। HIV अरुलाई मात्र होइन, तपाईलाई पनि लाग्न सक्छ।
सकारात्मक सोच, स्वस्थ समाज अनि सही निर्णय नै सरल तथा सफल जीवन हो।
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास।
And I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower of a TV. You know, TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, "There's one
terrible president." The only video we've been told exists of the plane flying into the first tower spent the entire day in the videographer's camera at ground zero. So what video did Bush see?
Under attack. We're the hood librarians, we ship the prisons too. We reach out and deliver to those that's bitten too, but it's more than a bookstore. You wonder we got it, mixtapes, DVDs, and culture products. Black and Nobel got our hands in a lot of projects. We rock them all to come build, the energy is positive. And remember other teams, there's awakened conscious. Come through and experience this place of knowledge. They say they'll put it in a book if they wanna hide it from us. But we got the book so you can buy it from us. Something to read while you're on a train or riding the bus.
get your read on. Food for thought, get your eat on.
Black and no doubt. I bought my books in black and no doubt. Black and no doubt. I bought my books in black and no doubt. Black and no doubt. I bought my books in black and no doubt. Black and no doubt. I bought my books in black and no doubt.
Hey music lovers, this is Finian McKay and you're listening to a Creative Commons licensed podcast. Rock and roll forever.
This is Howard Zinn. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced false news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured, targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
You can't bring up, one guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year? Whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African American.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this the piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white? He is. He's very white.
When a Muslim without a birth certificate has taken over the White House, you need a good white former junkie to show you the direction that America needs to go in. Beck, it's What's for Demagogue.
Well, here he is. As promised, Mr. Conservative, with his own special radio free speech program, ready to tell the whole truth about other conservatives. Rush Limbaugh. How do you spell that, Rush? How do you spell that, Limbaugh?
From now on, I'm not going to spell it. And this is, of course, the Rush Limbaugh Pirate Program on radio, free speech. I've been reading all these white Watergate stories, and I happen to think there's something huge there. Al D'Amato appears to be zeroing in on it, but he's clearly under a cloud now. Al the Fonz D'Amato tried to prosecute Chelsea Clinton, and now he's trying to prosecute Sox the Cat. This is the kind of shenanigan idiocy that you get from the conservative movement, and if you don't agree with them, you're not good, and you're not decent. Every day I come to this Golden EIB microphone, I say I'm going to lead with other stuff. I'm not going to talk about these conservatives. But Bob is the owner of the blade, so I have no choice. When it comes down to ideology, liberal versus conservative, the Republicans lose because the social agenda of the Republican Party is being proffered and sponsored by a bunch of people who are hypocrites. Many of these damn Polacks have been divorced and therefore have no credibility to talk about family values. What a bunch of dumb fucks. And you're probably saying, well, how did this happen? Seriously, have you ever looked at Republicans? I mean, the head is tiny compared to the body. They've got to be idiots. Here's a dirty little secret. Republicans are now hanging out in fast food restaurant parking lots, begging for a good cigar, a picture, a fishing lure, or a transistor radio tuned to the EIB network. And this, of course, constitutes the everyday reality that enrages most sad sack Americans. The philosophy behind the conservative approach is, it's real simple. Let the private sector take over, give control to the greedy and selfish. End Medicare. Transfer about $5 trillion of wealth from the public sector to tax breaks for the rich. And I think that's just a bunch of shit. This philosophy is a symptom of the decline of this country. So why am I smoking a victory joint? Because I have a Svengali-like control over most of you. Because you are just a bunch of mind-numb ghetto heads. And because I own the greatest riches ever created by the human race. It's mine. It's all mine. My success means the country's finished. I've been here for 7 years saying this stuff. The Washington Post yesterday began this sidebar story. Regular listeners of the Rush Limbaugh radio talk show have been its loyal foot soldiers. More than half the ditto heads say they're very interested in masturbation, compared to only a quarter of non-ditto heads. That didn't surprise me. This is something that I have always said to the critics of the show and to anybody who asks, who want to know why this show's so successful. It's because I love teaching people to masturbate. And I'm doing exactly what I want to do. I'm doing what I was meant to do. And I am bigger than radio itself. Finally, this, my good friends. There is an FCC test you must take in order to get a broadcasting license. It's called the anal exam, and it's part of the rules. This is how the FCC testing is done. You have to go out in front of the staff. You begin by putting your foot in your mouth. They then take an EIB microphone and shove it up your... You've been screwed. The federal government is destroying day by day, slowly but surely, your freedoms. There's been a concerted effort to keep the public from listening to pirate radio. Now we move forward. What do we do? We don't need a bunch of people sitting around thinking. We need action. You must work hard to keep radio free. We're America, by gosh. And we don't think a microphone stuck up your ass is funny. This is an argument this country's not over with, not through having. Appreciate the opportunity to communicate with you. See you next time.
Rush Limbaugh, exclusively on Radio Free Speech.
This is Radio Intelligente Rindajina.